All right, so we were doing this consultation on this with the church, and it just felt like the Lord said, all right, you need to explain this in the terms of coffee. And so the church that we were going to had a large coffee bar area that they were trying to get people to interact and have socialization. But there were some people that were doing it, other people that weren't. And there was some discussions amongst their elders that we shouldn't be paying this much for coffee and it's not worth it. And then there's another group of people who were just using the big coffee pot in the kitchen and making their folders and hanging out in there. And so there was this, you know, again, kind of a chaos thing, which would describe most churches, all right, again, trying to be multi-generational. So if you're up in the older group, which I was a little shocked to find that the U.S. government defines elderly as 65 and older, but some of you might already be getting letters from AARP or might even be collecting Social Security benefits. That's kind of what all of that's for. Is that if you're above that, say you're in that radio generation or silent generation, whatever it is you want to call it, you can remember a time where coffee was essentially free. And they used to just have it at the grocery store or you went to church, whatever, but it was in these big coffee urns and the percolators, as they call them, which I can remember a time when I was a kid, the first time I ever tried coffee was at a grocery store and they just had free coffee in the corner. And if you wanted coffee, you had several options. You could have coffee with creamer. You could have coffee with creamer and sugar. You'd have coffee with sugar. You could have just coffee, or you could just eat a cube of sugar, which I may or may not have done here and there. I just went and tried it, took some, and that same spot is now where a Starbucks is because the baby boomers love Starbucks. They were the one that kind of totally embraced that. And so the radio generation has a really hard time paying a lot of money for coffee because they remember what time when coffee was essentially free, or coffee was a nickel, or coffee was 25 cents. And so it suddenly went from 25 cents or free all the way up to $5.95. And now it's all the way up to $8.95 or whatever it is that you get. Or if you have it delivered, then it's even more than that. And so that generation has a really hard time paying for coffee or spending money on something again that they used to get essentially for free. So then fast forward to Gen X, and then there was a big move even in the church to get Starbucks in the church. And I attended several churches that were serving Starbucks coffee, had the Starbucks logo, because at the time they were cool. I even tried to get that at our church. I remember calling and figuring out how to get the licensing and how much we would have to order in order to be able to be an official Starbucks location, all right? But then we met the millennials, and the millennials are like, well, wait a minute, what is Starbucks doing with their money? What are they supporting? What's their cause? And then all of a sudden it became a really big deal. Like, we can't have Starbucks in church because they support all of these agenda things that we're not okay with. Because back in the day, you just made coffee and then you served it. You either liked it or you didn't like it. We didn't know about your business. We didn't ask about your business or what you did with your money. Nobody cared about those things. They just cared, is the product good? Is the product not good? But that's not how millennials roll. And so they care and they want to know, and they will support something based on who they support or the ideals that they represent more than the actual product itself. And so that's a big change. So no more Starbucks by name, but certainly there was going to be coffee, because most people in that generation like the coffee house experience, the organic kind of feel of it all. And so again, but we got to find our beans. They got to be fair trade. They got to be, no child labor. They got to be good for the environment. All the things that are what coffee has become today. And yes, it's in the church. And so the church often kind of looked like a coffee shop. And I've been to churches where they had a full-on coffee bar where you went and you ordered stuff. Sometimes you had to pay for it. And I've also been to ones where they just had like basically every coffee gizmo known to mankind. Cream and syrup is located there in the back, and you have time, you go make your coffee and you bring it in, where that would have been heresy back in the day, where coffee was for the foyer and coffee was for the fellowship hall, but you did not bring that into the sanctuary in an older generation. So then that created kind of an interesting dilemma for specifically this church, because they were having this disconnect because they were buying their beans from this local store that was then using 10% of their profits to do all this missions work. And so the older generation was like, we shouldn't be spending this much money on coffee. And the other people was like, well, that's what coffee costs, and we want to support something that's local, something that's doing good for the environment, it's fair trade, ecologically sourced and all that kind of stuff. But they were still at odds with each other because they were missing, okay, what do we have in common? Or is there a way to shift what we're doing to then have it be something that we all value and have in common? And so my suggestion to them was that they needed to find a source for the beans that was directly from a missions organization, because people who are in the age range that those in the radio generation are looking for some sort of legacy type thing that they're looking to do, but they also really believe in missions. And so from a practical standpoint, they're willing to give thousands of dollars to missions, but they don't want to spend $15 for coffee at this local coffee shop that's only giving 10% of their finances to missions. So my suggestion was to buy the coffee directly from missionaries, directly from the source. And I happen to have friends that are in Guatemala that they just go around, they live in coffee plantation world, and they go and buy coffee and sell it to other churches or to other people as a way to support the house that they have where they're taking care of those that have been caught up in sex trafficking, and they're counseling them out and giving them a trade so they can go out into the world. And so that satisfies all of the different generations' needs. All right, so you've got the older one, it's missions, and they're willing to give to missions. As a result of that missionary dollars going out, they also get coffee. Hey, they're fine with that. It's also as ecologically safe and it's doing the most good that possibly, and so that's okay with millennials. It's cool, it tastes good. All of those things happen, and so then all of a sudden everybody's on board with what it would happen to be. But then we still have this problem with the younger generations who aren't going to probably drink that coffee. Why? Because they either got their coffee on the way in the way they like it because it's so specific, or they're having it delivered or something. And so they don't care that much about coffee, and they're actually starting to look for something sacred. And so they're like, I can't tell the difference between my church and a coffee house. And so then that doesn't feel right to them. Whereas the boomers don't want it to feel religious, the younger people are kind of looking for something sacred. So I know a lot of the churches that are reaching younger people don't have coffee. Or if they have any coffee at all, they're back to basically just one coffee urn with creamer and some sugar over in the corner. And it's kind of this wild deal. We're just like, we're coming full circle back around to this whole thing. And so I'm again not saying I have all of your coffee answers, but it's an interesting way to look at how the different generations see different things, what they need. And again, if we can get that in alignment, then we can meet the needs of most people and get what it is that we're looking for, which is, again, unity, fellowship, and some sort of koinonia, some sort of exchange of wisdom and energy and just all the things that God has for us. So I know that was a lot. I always say that it was a lot, but hopefully it will point you in the right direction. Again, I encourage you to get the book. You can check it out. It's at Amazon.com in print, in audio, and in ebook format. It might even be available at your local library, at least on the digital versions. And you can check out all the other stuff that we have at musicandministry.co. If there's anything we can do for you, don't hesitate to ask. And until next time, God bless.